This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 29. Catriona understood the effect those words had on Tom. She covered his hands with hers and noticed the stone.
"What's that?" she asked.
"It's my mother." He paused and choked back the words, "Mother."
"It's hers."
He nodded to the journal as Catriona brought the heart close to the lamp.
"It's so beautiful,"
she whispered and passed it back to the boy. They were about to return to the journal when the sound of a small animal, similar to the one Tom heard earlier, echoed through the chamber. The scurrying came from a point to their left by the shelves. Catriona and Tom both jumped as a blur of fur zipped along the top of a line of books. This time the rat, because that's what it was visible and huge. Catriona shivered.
"We should get out of here. We can read the journal in the cottage. This place gives me the jeebies."
Staring after the rat, she seemed to see the books for the first time. Despite her call to leave, she stooped to the floor and retrieved a leather-bound volume. "They're all blank," said Tom. But Catriona had already opened it up.
"No, they're not," she replied.
Who would keep a stack of blank books? Curious, Tom looked at the page she'd tilted towards him. Sure enough, Catriona seemed to have stumbled on the only volume that wasn't actually blank.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"Maths, I think. Or maybe physics. Lots of formulas anyway."
She passed the book to Tom and rummaged at her feet for another. Tom glanced at the pages in his hand and marvelled at the tiny writing cramming every inch of clear space in a complex pattern of gobbledygook.
But it wasn't gobbledygook. Not to him.
"This is a calculation for skin conduction. Transdermal information flow." Catriona looked up from her acquisition and raised an eyebrow.
"Of course it is."
Despite themselves, they both smiled. But Tom's eye was drawn to the second book in her hand. It too was full of writing. He picked another from the floor and another from the shelves. Time after time he got the same result. Full. Not a blank page among them. Science, mathematics, politics, history, anatomy, nanotech, business. And time after time, the information contained was common sense once Tom had read a piece to himself, no matter how obscure or how complex the subject.
These were all empty. All of them.
Catriona looked at Tom suspiciously.
"You mean like magic ink?" she quipped.
"No, I'm serious.
This means something." "It means something, all right, but not to me."
She looked at the thousands of spines lining the shelves and added,
"How come they're all in such good condition? This is ancient. They should be rotten or eaten by Basil and his friends."
"Basil?" Tom asked.
"The rat."
"Oh, I see." But of course, he didn't see at all. But those words, "I see," planted a notion in the boy's mind that would have seemed wild to a normal person, but made immediate and weird sense to him.
"Put out the lamp," he said.
Catriona was unimpressed by Tom's assumption that she would obey his order, and she said without thinking,
"Put out yourself."
And he did, much to Catriona's alarm. He walked to the table, reached out as Catriona fumbled her warning not to, and closed the knurled valve until the hiss turned to a spluttering, popping halt and the cave plunged into darkness.
"Ah!"
Catriona screamed.
"Quiet! There's no one here. It's all right." "You're a lunatic, Tom. Put it back on."
But Tom's answer was unexpected.
"Whoa!"
he said, and then said it again.
"Whoa!"
When the light died, Tom saw nothing but a black void, unlike any darkness experienced on the surface above. It was as if someone had painted his eyeballs black. But second by second, that strange, all-embracing light lifted his surroundings from obscurity and brought the cavern into sharp focus. He saw the table, the journal opened to the page he'd left it at, the words, George, Silas, poisoning the purity of its writer's intentions. He glanced at the book in his hands and noted that it too was full of detailed ink. Catriona stood between the pile on the floor and the wall of books. She was slightly indistinct, her edges blurred as though a living painting whose artist had not quite decided where to put her. She cursed Tom for his stupidity, and Tom was surprised to note that the sound came from a point to the left of her body. As soon as she spoke, however, the body jerked sideways to match the location of her voice. Now, though, her shape was more indistinct, its substance fading like a departing ghost. The girl stumbled over the books, her image performing an approximation of the action before blurring to a wispy representation of her form sprawled in the general area before him.
"Help me, Tom!" she cried,
and the shape firmed a little to its right. Tom reached down.
"Give me your hand," he said.
This time, she did not seem to mind the order. A smoky and blurred arm swiped the air and Tom felt the girl's warm fingers brush his. They met and grasped and Tom pulled an angry and grateful girl to her feet.
"What are you playing at?" she spat.
"I can see," Tom said. Catriona's face sharpened in front of his as her breath brushed his lips. He pocketed the heart, held her hand and circled her waist to comfort her. Well, maybe see isn't the right word. Maybe the word should be remember. I'm Paul Storey. Thanks for listening to Tom Corvin. Today is the 15th of June 2005. Thanks too to all of you that have given me such great feedback and words of encouragement, and of course for those of you that voted for Tom Corvin on Podcast Alley and podcastpickle.com. As I record this, I'm in Split in Croatia, and in a few hours' time I'm about to go off to Scotland for a week, primarily to do a feature for a Sunday magazine. This means I'll be pausing production for a week. However, to offset that break, I've produced a sort of potted history of the events leading up to the production of Tom Corvin. I hope to post that on Monday the 20th of June 2005. If you're interested in that, please download it and listen. If not, then the next chapter of Tom Corvin will be posted the following Monday. I think that's Monday the 27th of June. Thanks for listening. DreamWorks.com.